Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak here with Jordan Hamm. The Diamondbacks are heading into their last homestand of the regular season. They've got a three-game set with the Marlins and then three with the Giants to wrap things up at Chase Field for 2017 in the regular season. And then they'll head to Kansas City to wrap up the season as a whole. And then the postseason, which we will get into later. But coming back from this road trip, the Diamondbacks took 2 of 3 in San Francisco and then avoided a sweep on Wednesday by the Padres with a big win. The starting rotation kind of had some off days in San Diego. Patrick Corbin, Zach Godley, and Robbie Ray all basically only lasted 5 innings. Jordan, do you think that that should be a reason for concern?
I don't think so right now. The starting pitching, as we said in last episode, has been absolutely lights out. It seemed like they could do no wrong. For whatever reason, the Padres have been a thorn in the Diamondbacks' side. Whether they're at their hottest coming off a 13-game win streak, I remember that earlier in the year there was another, they were really hot winning series left and right, and then they went up to San Diego, had a huge offensive game, and then lost the next two. So for whatever reason, they just don't match up well against the Padres. And that's just one of those weird baseball things. So I don't think there's too much area for concern with the starting pitching. It's a slight blip in the on the radar, a slight bump in the road. And, you know, you want to be playing your best baseball here in the final 2 weeks. And it seems like they were able to turn that around in the final series against the Padres.
At the plate, they've had a few standout guys, your typical AJ Pollock and JD Martinez. But at the plate, do you feel there's any reason for concern with the low production in San Diego?
Again, you go to Petco and the life gets sucked out of you. So I don't think there's too much area for concern. I know that Torrey Lovello is going to be nipping and tucking this lineup where he needs to be. We've seen Jake Lamb take various roles as he struggled in the second half. We've seen AJ Pollock move to the third spot. I'm going to beat this drum again and again. Get Paul Goldschmidt as many at-bats as you can. Get JD Martinez as many at-bats as you can. I think it would be wise to move one of them to the two spot and have the other one in the three. They're protecting each other. Have AJ at the four right now because he's hitting very well, and keep David Peralta up at the top because he was one of the sparks in that offense. So we'll see how they offensive struggles continue against this Marlins staff. There might be a little, something to take note of, but I don't think with these last two series that they, the expectations were so high because they had been putting up, 7, 8, 9 mm-hmm. rounds consistently each game.
AJ Pollock had 3 home runs in San Diego. He went 4 for 9 in the series with 5 RBIs, had a good series in San Francisco as well, and he's been moving kind of up and down in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Torrey Lovello has been kind of trying to find his spot.
Right, and I think that that's a testament to the amount that Torrey trusts AJ. And I think it's also a testament just to the professionalism that AJ Pollock has, where you can move him around. And it has been, I don't want to call it a rough year for AJ, but it hasn't been the easiest year for him. When he's in, for the most part, he's been pretty productive. He's had a couple injury stints that have made it tough for him. And they're coming back from this most recent DL stint. He has really struggled, but you're seeing that start to come together. I felt like it started defensively, and then the bat came. He was making play. Even when he wasn't hitting, he was contributing by making big plays in center field, and now you're seeing this bat really come to life, and you're able to have an outfield with Peralta and JD Martinez. Those are three big-time contributors in your lineup, and guys that can cover a lot of ground defensively.
JD Martinez was recognized as the National League Player of the Week for the second consecutive week on Monday. His 4th Player of the Week honor in 2017. 4 games against the Rockies at Chase Field, then 3 against the Giants at AT&T Park. He hit at .435 with 3 doubles, 3 home runs, and 6 RBIs in those 6 games. So then in San Diego this past week, he hit his 41st home run on Wednesday to tie the series finale with the Padres up at 6 in the 6th. So just having, we've talked about this so much, just having him in the lineup as that clutch guy, having that honor 2 consecutive weeks in a row and just he's on a tear right now. So the postseason picture, just having him there, I think speaks volumes for the way this Diamondbacks team is.
Yeah, being able to bolster the lineup where you didn't know when they traded for JD Martinez, you didn't know how Jake Lamb's second half was going to be. You didn't know how AJ Pollock was going to respond from this injury. You didn't know if David Peralta could. He's done a great job stepping up as a run scorer, but as a run producer. So just having that extra bat to pair with Paul Goldschmidt, to have just two guys that you can just chalk up, life's going to be good when they're in the lineup. That's been huge for them, and he's made himself a ton of money here in the past three-ish months that he's been with the Diamondbacks.
On Wednesday night as well, Archie Bradley got to bat. Now, they brought him in the seventh in kind of a tight spot, and then he came out in the eighth and got an at-bat, and he ended up hitting an RBI single to center field, and then an error by Manuel Margot advanced him to third, and he helped extend the lead 9-6 that night. So, kind of a big moment for Archie Bradley, but that role that he came in the seventh and then they kept him in for the eighth, kind of a postseason picture with that, seeing him in that role.
Yeah, you're going to go with your most consistent arms. You saw that happen with the Indians last year where it seemed like every time a starter went out, Andrew Miller was coming in for them. I don't know how many innings that guy threw, but he threw a ton. You know, even going back to 2003, Josh Beckett with that rubber arm, he was coming in multiple scenarios, and Randy Johnson in the 01 World Series, you know, he started a game and then came in as a reliever and got the win in Game 7. Guys are going to be called upon to do a lot in the postseason. Archie Bradley's an athlete. He's a former football player. He almost played at the University of Oklahoma. Some have said he could have been Baker Mayfield. and he was a dual threat guy. So that kind of shows the athleticism. You know he's a huge competitor. And I'm sure he was just salivating when he was stepping up to the plate and then was able to deliver. You know, it's Archie Bradley's one of the craziest storylines for this Diamondbacks team, being able to transition from your fifth, sixth starter who struggled to a lights-out reliever. You've never heard a negative thing come out of his mouth about his role change or the bullpen or that he wanted Fernando Rodney's spot. I saw a reporter actually trying to kind of bait him into saying something about, well, shouldn't she be the closer and this and that, and he came back with stats supporting Fernando Rodney. So he's been the ultimate team player and has just been absolutely phenomenal this year.
On that topic of Archie Bradley, I was listening to Arizona Sports this past week, Burns and Gambo's show, and they brought up an interesting topic surrounding Bradley. They were discussing the topic of Archie Bradley being kind of the new face of Arizona sports as Larry Fitzgerald from the Cardinals retires and Shane Doan being out of the picture with the Coyotes this season. You've got Paul Goldschmidt, but Paul Goldschmidt is kind of an under-the-radar, keeps it quiet kind of guy. Is Archie Bradley, do you think, that kind of stepping into that role in the face in Arizona sports?
If he puts it together for a couple of years, yes. As you said, Paul Goldschmidt and Zach Greinke are the two most recognizable names on that roster. And there are two guys, at least in Paul's case, he accommodates the media, but right, he's not a guy that will go out and talk a lot. He's just a blue collar, get to work guy. Another name that comes to mind is Devin Booker, who is similar. And actually they've kind of struck up a friendship, him and Archie. They're both young guys. They both are confident. They both know what Arizona sports should be. And when the fan bases aren't there, or they feel like their home court or home field advantages aren't where it should be, they'll call out the opposing fans. They'll call out their own fans, things like that. So they're not afraid to get into a war of words. But yeah, I think if he's able to, he's already a fan favorite. So if he's able to, not only him, but the team is able to be successful over the next couple of years, whatever role he's in, I definitely think he's capable of being one of those faces of Arizona sports.
I think his leadership stands out above, just like you said, totally. You mentioned the sticking up for Arizona sports and kind of not necessarily taunting, but bringing up, oh yeah, our fans need to come out, our fans aren't showing up, and calling the fans out on all of that stuff. So I do think with his leadership role and his outspokenness, I think that that's kind of who you need.
And it's one of those things where there have been plenty of people in Phoenix media, a certain set of twins that played for the Suns, that constantly called out the fan base or their own team and tried to light a fire, and they didn't really deliver. Archie's 100% delivered.
Oh, yeah.
I think he has the lowest ERA among relievers this year.
Yeah, I believe it's like 0.38 or something.
It's very low. Unbelievable what he's been able to do, especially in the second half, and been the kind of the main rallying cry for this team.
As this Marlins series gets started Friday and then the Giants series gets started on Monday, what are some things that you're looking for to be extremely confident about this team as the regular season wraps up and the postseason comes around?
I alluded to it before. In the lineup, you want to see production out of somebody other than Paul Goldschmidt and J.D. Martinez. Conceivably, they can come up once every three innings at the very least. And obviously, though, when you see those World Series teams that happen, it's not always the Albert Pujolses of the world. Sometimes it's the David Ecksteins who get the mm-hmm. huge hits. It seems like it's more likely that it's those guys, honestly. So that's something to look out for. You know, just thinking back to the last World Series, David Ross was the one who hit the gate.
The unexpected guy.
Yeah, it wasn't Rizzo. It wasn't Chris Bryant. It was David Ross. So you want to see production and start to see some bats come alive. They've done a great job having plenty of guys contribute this year, so I'm not too concerned about that. And just being able to, a similar thing, seeing consistency out of the bullpen by everyone not named Archie Bradley.
Right.
Because Bradley's been there. You know, Fernando Rodney has, again, been very, very good this year. But sometimes getting the ball to him, there's been some rough stints. If we can see first half of the season Andrew Chafin come out, mm-hmm. I think you're feeling very confident about this bullpen.
I agree with you on the at-the-plate stuff and the bullpen stuff as well. The other thing I asked you about, if you were concerned with the starting rotation having that blip in the radar this mm-hmm. past week, I think the key just for everyone's confidence around the fan base and the team as well, just getting those starters to go the six or seven innings and not having to rely on that bullpen. I mean, Archie Bradley, like you said, Andrew Chafin, Jimmy Scherfe, I think, is another guy that's been such a standout, and I mentioned that last week as well. But those guys that you know you can rely on, you know you can trust, I think figuring that out in these next two series and then in that series in Kansas City are going to be huge just for overall confidence with that.
And, again, I don't know how much Torey Lovullo has thought about it yet. It wouldn't surprise me if he's already planning for it. It wouldn't surprise me if he's saying, I'm not getting ahead of myself, how this rotation is going to shake out, who would take that wild card game, who would take potentially game one against whoever that division winner is that they match up against, and how many starters that they use. Mm-hmm. Would they use all five? Would they use four? Would they potentially go down to three of, you know, probably Greinke, Ray, and Walker? If that's the case, then you have Pat Corbin that can spin a couple innings, Zach Godley, who's been in that role before. Mm-hmm. So how the rotation shakes out this postseason is going to be very interesting as well.
The postseason picture is something else that's kind of shaken up. The Diamondbacks are six games up on the Rockies, but the Milwaukee Brewers are making things interesting. They're within one game of the Rockies, and then the St. Louis Cardinals are now in 1.5 games back from the Rockies. So Diamondbacks' magic number is 4, but this National League wild card race is getting more interesting than ever.
It is, and the Rockies, you know, you think back the past couple times we were able to make playoff runs with Rocktober, and how they rattled off, you know, 14 to 20 straight or however many it was. But conceivably, the Diamondbacks could have a postseason spot wrapped up by tomorrow. Which is crazy, even though their magic number is 4. Bear with me because there's a lot going on here. So they can clinch a postseason berth tomorrow, and this is thanks to Casey Wilcox, Senior Director of Player and Media Relations from the Diamondbacks. If the Diamondbacks beat the Marlins on Friday night, as well as Saturday, and the Cubs beat the Brewers on Friday night or on Saturday, you also need the Pirates to beat the Cardinals tonight or tomorrow. Okay, that's one scenario.
That's only one scenario.
Another scenario. The Diamondbacks need to beat the Marlins tonight and tomorrow. The Cubs need to beat the Brewers tonight and tomorrow. And the Pirates need to beat the Cardinals tonight and tomorrow. So that second one's a little clearer, where basically the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, and the Pirates have to win tonight and tomorrow. That would wrap up a postseason spot. Let's make it even more confusing. Okay, they can clinch home field in the NL wildcard game tomorrow if they beat the Marlins tonight and tomorrow, and the Padres beat the Rockies tonight or tomorrow. The Diamondbacks, here's another scenario. Diamondbacks beat the Marlins tonight or tomorrow, and the Padres beat the Rockies tonight and tomorrow. So basically, you can flip-flop it either way. Basically, the Diamondbacks either have to win twice and the Rockies lose once, or the Diamondbacks win once and the Rockies lose twice.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out more baseball content on sports360az.com. And we'll be back here next week with another episode. Thanks for joining us.